Well, good evening. Happy New Year, 2019. Who would have thought? You know? Huh? The Lord's tarrying, you know? And we understand that the Lord's heart is that all will come to a saving knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we certainly give, way to that. The Lord knows what's best. And yeah, I think many of us who understand the warnings and the exhortations of the Scripture to be vigilant and to be watching would have thought that it would have happened by now. But the Lord is long suffering. And I would imagine that the first time He considered mankind and where man found himself, and He looked down, and He said, and said, "Man, I almost am sorry that I even created them." And it wasn't because He felt He made a mistake. I think He felt sorry for mankind and how man was living, and what the world had come to, and how they were treating one another. It was a time when they had learned murder and were able to make weapons of metal, and a man by the name of Lamech started leading mankind in a wrong direction, where wickedness really overtook righteousness and where righteousness was almost wiped out. And so the warnings of the Scriptures are that those times are ahead of us again, where God's going to have to step in and put a stop to it. And that's kind of where we find ourselves tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to worship You, Lord. That's what we were created to do, is to give You honor, to give You praise, to exalt You and lift You up, Lord. And just pray that You would bless us tonight as we open Your Word. And Lord, maybe just are again encouraged, Lord, to dig into Your Word, to dig into our faith, Lord, to stand firmly upon Your truth. For we know that each day is a day closer to eternity with You, and we just turned the page of another year. Lord, another year of Your mercy and another year of Your grace, but also another year of man's shaking his fist at You and raging against Your truth, Lord. So I pray that You would protect us here, and Lord, just ignite a fervent desire, Lord, to be lights, to burn brightly in these last days. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. I'm going to talk a little bit. I just kind of put some stuff together. And, you know, when you look at the Scripture, and I was kind of going through all of the warnings, I guess you would say, as the Scripture talks about the last days, in the last days, when Jesus was asked by the disciples, "What are the signs of Your return? When are these things going to happen?" You know, Jesus started saying that there's going to be pestilences, there's going to be earthquakes, famines, there's going to be things happen on the earth that are going to look like birth pangs, that are troubles that really mankind cannot overcome. And He started talking about that there are going to be many false prophets, many people coming in His name that are going to be speaking falsely. They're going to even suggest that, you know, here is the Christ, here is the anointed, there is the anointed. Man is going to be chasing the power and the Spirit all over the place, you know, and just that misdirection and misguidance that really God's men and God's people are supposed to give. You know, what happened to the children of Israel? The leaders lead falsely, the teachers teach falsely, and my people love to have it so. And the people liked, you know, to not be reminded of God, you know, the righteousness of God. and our call to holiness and being separate and being different. And it's a hard thing, and it's certainly something that's not popular today. But as you look through the scriptures, you will not find anywhere that in the last days, at the end of days, when the imminent return of Christ is going to happen, nowhere do you find the picture that mankind is doing real well to prepare the way for God to come back. That they came up with a great peace plan, or had discovered to the great extent their purpose in such a way that all of mankind will be prepared for Jesus to return with the hope and that hope of his return. Now, everything that you find in the last days is really an indictment on humankind and what society has come up with, the heart of man. And really an indictment on the church. When you look at the book of Revelation, the only real one commendation is you have a little strength. You know, there's no suggestion that the new apostolic reformation that demands that the church be under the authority of the apostles and the prophets, and so now you got everybody calling themselves apostles, everybody calling themselves prophets, kind of self-determined authorities. Nowhere does it suggest that this return to the supposed authority of the church is what needs to be done and what the church recognizes as leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. And so we have all these wacky things going on in the church, not recognizing that it's as in the times of the days of Noah, so shall the return of the Son of Man be. The time of the days of Noah, righteousness did not rule. In fact, righteousness was on the verge of being wiped out. God's plan for redemption through the righteous line of Seth came down to a man named Noah, as God looked down and said, man, I wish I really had never made mankind, because of what they have done with this gift of life and my grace and mercy. All that they have done has come down to this. They've wiped out any vestige of the goodness of God. And so he looks down and he says, look, there's one named Noah that is righteous in all of his generations, and I'm going to continue mankind through him and through his family. Because God's plan was always salvation through his Son Jesus Christ, always, that man might be reconciled to a holy and righteous God. That's what God's desire is. And had he just said, that's it, when the unrighteous line of Cain wipes out Noah, it's all over, and I'm just going to wrap it all up now. Had he done that, then none of mankind would have ever had a hope of eternal life. Isn't that something? So God strove with man. He's not going to strive with man forever. And so we see, you know, why don't you open up to 2 Timothy chapter 3. But the one commendation is you have a little strength. That's the end of, at the end of the days, when all of these things are going on in the church, compromise and idolatry and the lukewarm attitude towards God and the things of God and the lovelessness of mankind and all these things that the Lord sees in the church, the ruling over the people and withholding truth, and all these things that we see at the end of time in the book of Revelation, and as God looks at his church and warns, look, I'm going to remove my candle if you don't turn from these things. But the one comment, you have a little strength. The true church. The church that's still walking according. He says, because you have been faithful to my word and have not denied my name. It's simple. We're to remain faithful to the truth that God has given us and not deny the name of Jesus Christ. And we deny, how would we deny the name of Jesus Christ? But by how we live and our witness, through our witness and our testimony. And so 2 Timothy, really, you know, we can see so much of it festering in our society today. If we are, you know, if we have blinders on to really what's going on around us, it's a sad thing. The exhortation is always to watch and to be ready. Many powerful and popular pastors today are saying that eschatology, the study of end times, the things that are going on to now, prophecy is none of our business. And that's just not what Scripture tells us. It's against Scripture. And so we see that man is kind of off doing his own thing, and the church is in stasis to a certain extent. Really, what is the church today? You ever sat down and wondered, what is the church? Everything calls itself the church. A lot of people call themselves Christian. What is it? What's the church? Paul, when he's talking to Timothy in his second letter to Timothy, and there's some struggles going on there, and there's some false teachings that are going on, and Timothy's being challenged in his faith and what he had been taught. And Paul starts telling, look, know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. I would tell you, we're in perilous times. You could be shot, or you're certainly going to be ostracized and chastised for standing up for what's true today. Pastors get shot. Look, at they walked into a church and shot up a bunch of people in a church. It's happening in a lot of places. But we're living in perilous times. The sanctity of life is very low, is held very low today. Rights, my rights are supreme, and my feelings are what rule my decisions and what's real and what's not real. That's how society's living today. And it says, for men will be lovers of themselves. It's philatos, and it means self-absorbed. I was just watching, you know, the king, not the king Elvis, because Elvis is dead, but the new king. You know who the new king is? LeBron James. LeBron James is the king, and he pronounced himself the greatest basketball player ever to live, because he won a national he won a world championship for Cleveland, of all places. And because it had been 54 years of dry, and he was able to accomplish that, that makes him the greatest player ever. Self-pronounced. But if you watch anything today, I mean, you watch professional sports, Hollywood, and they're self-absorbed. I mean, they cannot get enough of themselves. Sad. It's the campaign of modern psychology. It's all born out of the me. Feel good about me, and we see it. It's kind of infiltrated the church too, the psychologizing of the faith, and I am what the Bible, you know. And here's the thing: I am who God says I am, and I'm His child, and I'm kind of a mess, and He cleaned me up, and He loves me, and when I get out of line, He's going to chastise me, and you know, that's the truth of it. We sing that song, but there are other pastors who stand up and suggest that I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And, you know, let's ignore the fact that we're still sinners saved by grace. We're sinners saved by grace. You're a sinner saved by grace. And guess what? You're still a sinner. And God's grace still rules, and we need to understand that. And then they're lovers of money. The word is Philargyrus, and it means fond of silver. It talks about covetousness, and we know that covetousness is, God has a lot to say about covetousness, about having what you wanting what you don't have or wanting what others have leads to all kinds of problems, doesn't it? You start devising ways of trying to get things that you really don't need. There are some who operate solely upon their own holdings. I mean, you look at, you know, today, what does everybody cry about? That person has too much, I don't have enough. And they're trying to gain more, and they're never going to have enough or be satisfied. Listen, if that's what you're chasing, you will never have enough or be satisfied. Listen, Congress will never have enough of your money to spend. Never. You know that, right? And they want to spend on all kinds of immoral public programs. I'm going to kind of be real. Look, the wall is not one of the immoral programs today. The wall is not. The immorality is a lot of the other things. Planned Parenthood and different things that they're upholding today. Building a wall is not immoral. It might, I'm not going to argue with whether it's right or wrong, but it's not immoral. God gave actually guidelines to the nation of Israel that they were to secure their borders. But they were allowed to allow the alien in under this condition. If a person wanted to become a Judaizer, if a person wanted to come in and recognize Jehovah as the true God and worship Him, they were to allow that alien in. Otherwise, no. So, they're boasters, alazon, braggarts. We don't use that word anymore, braggarts, right? Did you know that the root of it is from ale? Becoming a vagrant. You know, most of the homeless are because of alcohol, drugs, the vagrant. But have you ever heard of liquid courage? Yeah, I knew about that. But they're elitists. Have you ever researched how many cocktail parties there are in Washington and how often our leaders are at those cocktail parties? You know, Chappaquiddick is a reality, and it's just the tip of the iceberg, but it gives insight into the real problems that we have amongst our leadership. Washington, D.C. is populated by vagrants, many vagrants. Proud is hyperphanos. It means appearing above others. It talks about haughtiness and proud. You know, people that think that they know how you should live your life better than you know how you should live your life. And God forbid that you think you should live your life according to the Word of God or the Ten Commandments, the righteous requirements of God, that you acknowledge those things. We'll take those off the walls and try and remove them from society, right? Blasphemers, this is an interesting, blasphemers. It's from blasphemos, it means scurrilous. You ever heard the word scurrilous? Good old English word. It's from calumnious. Now we're edumacated together. Calumnious, against men or against man. It also means it's slanderous and defamatory, harmful and often untrue, tending to discredit or malign. The modern feminist movement, Me Too, is rot with it. I'm going to be very un-PC. Me Too is garbage. What it started out as is right. The calling out of men that use their power and authority and position to use women and to do those things. Absolutely, they should be called out. They should be put on the carpet. They should be. But what it's become is scurrilous. It is, what's that other word that I used? Where do you use that? Calumnious. It is. It was a right movement, but it's lost its moorings and it's become a calumnious movement. Believe her because she is a woman. Have you heard anything as ignorant as that in your life? And it's become a militant thing. It ignores the need for corroboration. It's reckless blasphemy, according to Scripture. It's blasphemy. Isn't that interesting? It also means impious against God. And that's why friendship with the world is enmity with God. To become a part of any of this is enmity. It's becoming an enemy of God. Modern culture in America is a blasphemous mess. Listen, and now here's the thing. If Jesus was here, he would be against the wall. If Jesus was here, he'd be on our side. You hear all these politicians? You see what's going on? They're trying to appeal to the church by inciting the name of Jesus, who they don't have a clue about. They have no idea what the Word of God says. But boy, can we get them if we say Jesus wouldn't be for it. That's ignorant. It's blasphemy. There's no love for, they have no love for Jesus or for His Word. Citing His name and trying to justify their position is a grossly ungodly thing to do. Sad. Please, please do not get taken up in that whole debate. It's garbage. I'll tell you what Jesus would do if he was here. He'd go and he'd look at the whole lot of them and he'd say, "You need to repent," is what he'd say. "You're all wrong." Disobedient to parents. The undertone is unpersuadable. And here's another neat word, contumacious. It means stubbornly resistant to authority, willfully obstinate. Here's what it's talking about. It's talking about the heart of an anarchist. It's anarchy. Antifa. The other anarchist groups fall under this. It's the flag of socialism against authority and ultimately against God, the supreme authority. Socialism is ungodly. I'm just going to tell you right now, Jesus was not a communist. Oh, it says that they sold everything and they shared it. It says they had everything in common. It wasn't commune, it was communists. They were communists. They shared with one another. It has nothing to do with man's ideal of socialism. I hope you don't get caught up in that. That's self-righteousness. It's a self-righteous movement, thinking that they have all the answers. Unthankful. That's against charizomai. You know what the word charis gives us, right? It's talking about favor, and it epitomizes a welfare society, which is what we're moving towards and what they're calling for and clamoring for. It believes all should be granted to them. Everything is a right to have. It's their right to have. Whatever you have, it's their right to have. You understand that? It's sick. Charizomai is from the root that gives us charity, charis. It's the word from what we get grace. They're unthankful. They're against grace. Much of what calls itself the church today falls under unthankfulness. Living as if God's grace is a right and that Jesus owed us his life. Do you understand that that's what it is? Sloppy agape, cheap grace, love wins, call it what you want. It is contumaciousness. I'll spell it for you if you want. You write that one down. Go look it up. I looked all these words up too. Pretty wild. Old English word. contumaciousness. And we see a willful perversity and a disobedience to God's word. Man, that's widespread today. The only way we can show our appreciation is a life that's lived for Him, a life that has been transformed, a life that is evident of the transforming power of God's grace and His Holy Spirit in our lives. It's not by words and oh, look at all the good things I'm doing. It's holy, sanctified, set apart for His good pleasure. That's how we show our gratitude and our thankfulness. By surrendering and our giving our lives to Him. It's all we have, right? Life lived on purpose. Listen, it's life lived on purpose. It's living a sanctified life on purpose, not for purpose. Or not in purpose. It's on purpose that we're called to. The next one is unholy. We're down to the end of verse 2. It's against right. That's against what's right. Unholy. It means unrighteousness and wicked. It's against divine character. It's against the divine character of God, unholiness. It's when human statutes and relations go against God's word. It's against what is right, what God has created and said is natural and right. Transgender, gay marriage, abortion, he's clear about what the world is championing today. He says it's abomination to him. And I told you I'm going to be real, I'm going to be truthful, I'm not going to pull any punches tonight. Did you know that 2018 marked the first transgender Miss Universe contestant? And they think it's the greatest thing on earth. NCAA allowed first transgenders to compete in sports. Those men that feel like they're women are beating all the women. They get to win now. And I'm trying to pare it down to its basic stupidity. They're going against everything that they're championing. You understand that? They call for equality, except now that men say they're women and they're going to go beat the women and everything. You know what's going to happen next, right? Well, that's not fair. They're confused in their own confusion. God was clear. He said, women, and he told the children of Israel, I don't want women wearing men's clothes and I don't want men wearing women's clothes. Women are to have their hair in a certain way. Men are to wear their hair in a certain way so there is no confusion. Listen, God does not support androgyny. He does not support, in 2018, this is man has come a long way. We're no longer going to make you declare your child's gender on its birth certificate. You can let the child decide for itself what if it's a boy or a girl. Aren't we progressive and wise? Tell you what, I don't want any women coming and competing in men's athletics and beating me, because then there's going to be an issue. It's going to go to the mat on that one, and I'm going to win. So, did you hear what our supposed pro-life outgoing governor of Michigan did? Right at the end, did you hear? He signed a bill that, because there's only 8 abortion mills in Michigan, and it's not convenient for the outer reaches of some of the areas. I guess Saginaw doesn't have an abortion mill or anything close by. So what he did is he signed a bill so that you can tele-abort your child. You can call up, and a medical facility can get the abortion pill or whatever. sent to them, and you can teleabort your child now if there's not a convenient abortion mill nearby. Our pro-life governor thought that was a great idea. Unholy. It's unholy. The church is playing patty cake and feeling oh so progressive discussing the redeeming value of Harry Potter while this is going on. Unholiness abounds in every aspect of our society, and we want to live like this. Oh, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You know, Jesus said, "Do you think I came to bring peace? I didn't come to bring peace." Because Jesus knew his message was going to split people up. It was going to be controversial. It was going to cause some people to, you know, it was going to cause some issues in families and everything else. Sometimes the truth hurts, but it needs to be stood upon and it needs to be shared. Jesus isn't concerned about the border debate like some of our politicians. Jesus is concerned about you and whether or not you know him. That's all he's concerned about. The rest is going to shake itself out. He would weep over all the children, and he would call this nation to repentance. I would tell you that he would stand before a transgender person and say, "That is not my Father's plan. That's not how we created you. Won't you just listen to what I have to say and walk in agreement with us, with me and my Father?" That's what he'd say. He would love them. We're to love them. Unloving, that's without natural affection. It's hard-hearted towards kindred. The family unit, man, that used to be what everything was built around, you know. Unforgiving, it literally is truce breakers. And it talks about, because a truce in biblical days was signified by the pouring of blood. Most blood oaths, there are salt oaths, there are different ones, but the important ones, the covenants, were sealed by blood, the pouring out of blood. Scripture says God cannot deny himself. He cannot go back on his word. Everything in him is yes and amen. If he said it, he will surely keep it. He will do it. He is faithful. That's God. Jesus died for the sins of all. Cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. It cannot be undone. But it's hard to trust anybody's word today, isn't it? Unforgiving, truce breakers. Breakers of truth. Slanderers. False accusers. The word is diabolos. It's a traducer, especially Satan, and it's found in their diabolical activity. Slanderers, false accusers. I'm going to tell you something, and everybody was afraid to say, I'm just going to say it. The Kavanaugh hearings was a joke. If there was slander was any more evident in anything going on in our society today, it was then. Listen, the actors were completely demonic. You watch that, those people, until one man spoke up and at least spoke some truth into it. There's a lack of discernment in the church, which I believe is an evidence of the falling away. If you got caught up in that, listen, my frustration was that anybody could watch that and not see exactly what was going on. I'm not saying that Brett Kavanaugh was a great guy. all of his life, probably didn't get a little bit too stinky drunk when he was young. I'm not even saying that, you know, I'm not making a statement about our president. I'm not making a statement about Kavanaugh. I'm making a statement about the players in that brought slander and false accusation at the expense of corroboration, which God said, do not bear false witness. And the only way a witness can be corroborated is by two or more eyewitness testimonies, which could not be brought up in the thing. It is sickening that our leaders, that any of our leaders, would try and perpetrate that against a Supreme Court nomination who is supposed to then sit in judgment and justice of our society according to the Word of God. It was sickening. It was demonic. It was diabolos. And God couldn't make it any more evident where our society has gone than by what happened that day and us being able to watch it. I'm telling you, it's scary. It's scary to think that we have people in leadership and people in movements that want to be able to slander us without any corroborating evidence, without any evidence at all, and that it's supposed to stick. We're just supposed to believe those people. We have been given the wisdom to be innocent until proven guilty. God gave us that because of how mankind is, because of what we just watched in that very hearing. You understand that, don't you? It's a blessing that we have a system that suggests we are innocent until proven guilty according to what God has said. A witness testimony is put to be in all those. You know, we know that it's failing, right? But they want us to believe that we should operate under God's righteous judgment. The only court where guilty until proven innocent is in God's court, because He is right. And He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for us. And it says that now we have someone to stand beside us. Right? We have a lawyer, somebody to argue our case. And now to Him who is able to help us stand. He alone is able to help us stand in God's court. But it's not so in man's court, because man is fallible. Man is not righteous. And we're not just if we see the opportunity to not be just, right? And to get our way. This diabolos, slanderer, is alive and well. It's alive and well in a society and in a society in a country where it is not, that should not be the case. At least not how we started out. Oh, we're not a Christian nation. I'll buy that, but we're a nation whose government was built upon the Word of God, which is truth. And we're straying from that. That's reality. They can say whatever they want. They can try and rewrite history. They can say that Ben Franklin wasn't a, you know, these guys weren't perfect, no doubt, but they do cite that they got this from God's Word. And that should be good enough. So, 2018. Whew, it was a doozy. Unloving, without unforgiving, truce breakers, slanderers. So we saw that diabolos, without self-control, incontinent. It means more than, you know, wearing Depends and not being able to, you know, to hold your water. It means without vigor or dominion. It means out of control. We see murdering, drunkenness, drug addiction. Hey, let's legalize pot. Pretty much unchecked, wanton living. Live however we want. God has no dominion in our society today. That's what it's talking about. At least Man thinks that. We know God's in control of everything. They think that he doesn't. Brutal. It means fierce or savage. Who holds most of the authority today in some areas? Gangs, drug cartels. We have some brutal dictating governments all over the world. Heck, the Prince of Saudi Arabia can kill one of his own citizens in another embassy and get away with it. Because to stand up against that unrighteousness would jeopardize the benefits that we could, right? You see where this is all going? And he says, man, the closer you get, the more you're going to see this compromise with the spirit of the world, the spirit of evil. Despisers of good. It's against virtue. You know, the scriptures give a lot of instruction in virtuous living, and that's not just speaking about sexuality. It's talking about a holy life. Did you hear about the professional football cheerleader, though, who was berated and punished for being a virgin and not participating in lewd talk about hooking up and preparing for their, you know, sexual adventures with their boyfriends? Did you hear about that? Because she wanted to wait until she was married because of her faith and commitment, the commitment she had made to purity before the Lord. Berated. It's sad. Virtue is totally unvalued in America today. Completely unvalued. In the world, really. Traitors. The word for traitors means to give in first. To give in first. This is the church today. Let's not stand against anything. Let's not stand against anything. Let's not stand upon any truth or anything like that. Let's join the crowd. Call it ministry outreach. We can be clever in our compromise, can't we? It's literally giving into the enemy's hands. That's what it means, to give in to the enemy's hands. That's what compromise is. It's what traitors do. It's a traitorous thing. Like all the paths lead to God, or Islam is a legit religion of peace. We have to say that because that's politically correct. And oh, it'd be so also mean to suggest otherwise while they're out beheading Christians, raping Christian women, torturing their children. Have you heard that there's a 61 nation Islamic consortium that's being formed today to be led by Erdogan of Turkey? They're calling for Erdogan to be the leader. It's a desire to bring back the Ottoman Empire. Have any of you studied the Ottoman Empire? It was one of the most brutal empires ever. It's the whole story of Dracul came about, the impaler, fighting against the Ottoman Empire, who would come in and take all of the people's sons and make them soldiers to go die for the, you know. Do you have to study that in the army, the Ottoman Empire and those other things? Brutal. Wicked in their exploits. And this consortium includes the state, Bosnia, Herzegovina, Kosovo, Macedonia, all of the Baltic and Balkan states that are majority Islamic. Did you know that? Those are the states that are considered in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Togarma, Russia, Rosh, Iran, Persia, Kud, Put, all of the Egypt, Syria, all in play. And they want to bring back the Ottoman Empire that ruled at a time that was brutal and took over all those countries. In fact, they're talking about a 100-year-old man that came across Erdogan and looked at him and said, we've been waiting for you for the last 100 years, which I think is a demonic prophecy, but so it's happening. Headstrong. It's propitis, and it means to fall forward, literally fall on one's face, to be headstrong. That's modern science, defending the religion of evolution and following fools like Bill Nye, the science guy, who thinks that Mars has all the answers for life, to explain how life came into being. They're going to fall on their faces one day. They will fall on their faces, and it's going to be against everything that they've championed all of their lives. They're going to fall on their face, and they're going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, whether they want to or not. Haughty, to be enveloped in smoke. Cheech and Chong were haughty. So, you ever seen any of the movies? When I was, kind of BC, in the van, couldn't see through the windows. Sorry. To be enveloped in smoke, lifted up with pride, to be inflated with self-conceit. I'll tell you what, I don't think it's any more evident today than artificial intelligence, what man is doing with artificial intelligence in the computer, in the fact that they believe that they are creating a God that they can worship. Man creating a God of their own liking. Have you heard anything so absurd in your life? That's what their pursuit is today. But this is what God says about it. Isaiah chapter 14, we're told this, starting verse 9, hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up the dead for you, all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. They shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we? Have you become like us? Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments, the maggot is spread under you, and worms cover you. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's what mankind is doing with AI. It's pretty evident to me. You can consider it. But yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who will see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? And so that's what haughty is talking about. That's what these people that are creating their own, they have said that they're creating their own God, and they want to create their own God in AI. It's no different than what Satan tried to do, to put himself above God. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's hedonism. Entertain us. Don't tell us what God said, Tell us how good we are. Amazing what's going on. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away. It means to having a form of godliness, it means having the appearance of godliness. We find that appearance in these terms, evangelical. Don't believe the evangelical lie anymore. Evangelical doesn't mean what it claims to mean today. You understand that, right? Ecumenical. Christian. The church. All the words that appear to define the contents of what is going on in a gathering or a congregation, but really don't tell the story, do they? What it's saying is the gospel is not the power. It is no longer the power in those places. What does Paul say? Paul says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's all that matters, is that the gospel truth is being taught, that the word of God is going out. But it's man's devices, secular humanism, socially engineered religion, seeker-friendly compromise. These are the things that we're offering, or that are to be offered today, not truth. They have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. The truth is the power. The gospel is the power of God in salvation, that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. Because here's the truth. Because man is lost in his sin and needs a Savior. That's the truth. That's a loving, that is the loving truth, that God loved you so much that he would come down and he'd give his life for you. That's the truth. And says, for of this sort, there's creeps into households, making captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres, those are the magicians for the Pharaoh, resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as there's also was. And I just want to share, this is, as we're doing this and I was putting this together, Matthew 24, where are we going to go? And I started doing this and the Lord just told me, Bill, this is what Calvary Chapel, this is what I have for Calvary Chapel 2019 moving forward. This is why you're here. This is why we're here, church family. You have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch. Paul talking to Timothy, those things that he had taught Timothy according to what the Lord had inspired him to write, those things that he had learned as a religious zealot that God had brought to his, the forefront of his understanding, so that he could understand the understanding that he had of Scripture and how it spoke of Jesus Christ. Those things that Paul said, all those things I count as loss is the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. For Paul, it was all about promoting Christ and what the Scriptures had to say about Jesus Christ, because that's the only thing that can change a life. And he's saying, Timothy, all these things are going to come against you, but the only thing that matters is what you learned from me, because I believe that what I taught you was taught in truth, and truth about what God had called him to. And it's the same thing for the church, because Timothy was the pastor of the church at Ephesus. He said, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Evil men and imposters are going to grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But, Timothy, you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. Yeah, we just got the crazy paper that gets left on the trash can. I call the get out your checkbook paper. Look, the move of the Holy Spirit doesn't cost anything. But surrender and a willingness to follow Jesus Christ, and it's by the Holy Spirit, we'll know the deception that's going on. You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. But that's what you're here for, is to teach the Word of God. Listen, it's for us to seek and to bring other people in. This is their heart. If they have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, to bring them in and teach them the Word of God, the Scriptures, so that they can be wise in salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. That's it. No super-duper programs. We're not going to bring in the big entertainment. We're going to get some new lights. It's going to be pretty cool. No smoke machine. We're doing some neat things. Listen, God blessed us this year, 2018. Please don't take it the wrong way. This is what's going on in the world. God blessed us in 2018. Some new sound equipment, LED lights. Art's putting in LED lights all over the place. Garage, showers for the ministry teams that come out. And the crazy thing is I think we still have as much money as the account when I started as we ended up the year. I forgot to ask Pastor Kevin exactly, but God just kept giving it back, huh? And God's blessed us amazingly. And I believe it's because, as a body, I believe that we're doing exactly what God wants us to do, keeping it simple, living for Him. Listen, living for Him. Living, desiring lives wholly set apart and coming together to grow in the knowledge of Him. That's what the church is really for, right? Apostles, doctrine, prayer, breaking of bread, and worship and praising Him. We're just going to, no fireworks. That's what we're going to do this year, everybody, just so you know. Are you excited? I hope you're excited. Continue in these things, he says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's the word that God gave me for this year. Because I have a feeling that it's going to be challenged, maybe in some of our lives or as a church. It's challenged every year. I mean, when you look at what a lot of the church is doing and where it's heading, it's easy to say, that looks kind of neat. Maybe we should do that. Just know God's telling me no, to continue doing what God has called us to. That's why we're here. I just want to share something. It kind of goes, and I'm going to share a little bit. We got an email that we got. It's from a pastor that has planted some church and taught at the Bible College in the UK, in the United Kingdom, in England. He's from this area. He went through Calvary Albuquerque. Skip Heitzig, probably the school of ministry or missions and stuff like that, and ended up out in the UK. But he was from the Macomb area. Has a sister here who's now married but lives about 20 miles away. And thought that he had burned them out when he became a Christian. You're fired up. You remember when you're all fired up and you started telling everybody about Jesus and they didn't want anything to do with you and they didn't invite you to the family functions and stuff like that because they're afraid that you're going to talk about Jesus. And so he did one of those things with his sister and the rest of the family, thought he was nuts. He said, the Lord, after 20 years, has opened the door. They started talking about the church that she was now going to. As we said, the Lord opened the door just the other day when I called my sister. We began talking about her church, which is a mainline liberal denomination, Mr. and Mrs. Pastor, voting on marrying gays, etc. I asked her if there was a solid Bible teaching church in her area. She probably didn't understand what solid Bible church or what that meant, and she mentioned visiting a few churches that they didn't like. But I'm sitting here listening to your latest teaching with tears in my eyes, and I know that this is what she needs. She believes the gospel. I think she may be saved, but she and her husband have never been properly taught the Word of God. Would you please pray, and this is for us, for Beth and Todd to come to your church or another solid Bible teaching church and get saved and grow to maturity. That's why we're here. And if it's one or two or three or four, whatever the Lord decides, I'm not going to get caught up in numbers or have some kind of urgency of changing anything because they're not flocking in. It's the Word of God. It's the gospel that is the power of God and His salvation. That's it. And if your heart was changed when you're here, it wasn't because of Bill and his great speech and, the great ability to teach and, all that thing that he taught, all these guys learned in Bible college. It's because the Word of God touched your heart and open your eyes, and you saw your Savior, Jesus Christ. That's all that matters. That's it. 2019, we're going to continue to share God's truth and His love. That's it. In truth, if you got a little uncomfortable today, hey, look, I wasn't making a political statement. That's the truth. God's so far beyond our politics and understanding anyways. We're foolish. Foolish. Our government officials that have brought Jesus Christ's name into that, they're foolish. It's diabolical. It is blasphemous. They think that they're more than what they are. They don't even have an idea of who Jesus is and what his word says. Don't get caught up in it. I wanted to grab somebody through the TV and Ken Graves them, you know. But God said, look, Bill, I don't care about any of those things. What I care about is people coming to a saving knowledge of me. They need to know me. That's what we're here for. So, Lord, we just thank you. We want to go out praising you. Thank you for another year, another day to breathe and to share your love and your goodness. And, Lord, for the exhortation to be vigilant, to be ready, be watching. Nowhere do you tell us things are going to be hunky-dory and getting better right before you leave, but things are going to wax worse. But we're to concentrate on sharing the good news. That's it. Help us. Help us, Lord, to walk in these truths. We pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.